Tess has been a lifeline for me because I've been fighting whether or not to take the COVID vaccine. I have a lot of pressure to take it. It's not a political thing for me. I think everybody listening has to make their decision themselves. I don't care if you want the vaccine. I don't care if you don't. It's your business. Don't judge me because I don't. I won't judge you because you do. I just want you to have all the information, and that I know Tess feels the same way. And so she's been helping me a lot with the whole, because she has researched this ad nauseum. Let's start, Tess, with a very basic question. What is COVID and is it a vaccine?
And then you take off. What is COVID and what is a vaccine? Okay, well, coronavirus is something that we've been inoculating our pets for ages. It is a virus that causes cold-like symptoms and some inflammation. And it's been around for a long time. What they did in China is they added some genetic material to it to make it possible for that virus to infect humans. So then what you have is you have a virus who has a whole new host pool of hosts, and it's like a kid in a candy store. That virus just wants to spread. So that's why it's spreading so wildly. Just for perspective, what you have to understand is that a new flu virus, a new cold virus comes in periodically and infects the whole world. And if we counted every single person that we could test that says, oh, you're positive for rhinovirus, we would have this epidemic of rhinovirus. So viruses are viruses. You cannot control them. You cannot defeat them, like Biden said he would do. And you can protect yourself individually. The government can't protect you from a virus. The government can't protect you from a tornado. The government can't take care of you. You have to take care of yourself. And I learned that kind of early on because my family fell apart right after I went to college, and I found myself going from sorority girl to homeless on the streets of Seattle. So I learned that I had to take care of myself. It took a while. Sounds easy. Wasn't. But I learned that I had to take care of myself. I also learned that everybody isn't nice. And some people, when they reach a helping hand out, they really want to throw you down. So you have to be responsible for yourself. And so over the years, I became more and more responsible for myself. And miraculously, I became more and more successful as I became more and more responsible for myself. And then I found that I was able to be responsible for other people, like my children. And when your kid gets sick, boy, Hallie, I can totally relate. My son was diagnosed with a congenital enzyme disorder, which they're very common as a class of diseases, but his in particular was quite rare. And there was no science didn't have anything, medicine didn't have anything for it, largely because so few people get this certain disease that there's no money in it. And as a scientist, I have to tell you now, that's not an evil thing. That's just the way it is. It costs so much money to develop a drug for a certain disease. You can't just invest all billions into it when you only have 35,000 people who are ever going to need your drug. It's economically impossible. Pharmacy, big pharma, they may be evil, but that's not the evil part. And they're not evil in general. They're people that are seeking their own best interest. But when he was diagnosed that way and I realized that that I had to do something, I was studying to be a chemistry teacher and in organic chemistry. And I ended up, instead of becoming a teacher, going to graduate school just simply because I could not get anyone to take on the problem of helping children or individuals with enzyme disorders. So I looked around, did some research after I graduated, and I was an adjunct instructor at that time, and I decided that stem cells were what was going to save my child. So I looked into stem cell technology, and stem cell technology is not safe enough for use on humans because of the way we raise cells. So I went into that to figure out how to make stem cells safe and effective and more efficient so that they can be offered out to people. In the process, I put together a vitamin regimen that completely ameliorated my son's issue. He does not have the blood chemistry issues that he would have because of the enzyme disorder, as long as he takes a fistful of vitamins in the morning and at night, which is something we could all benefit from. So it's not a big deal. He can eat what he wants to, and he can have a normal life as long as he takes these vitamins morning and night.
All right, Tess, introduce yourself and take it away.
I just wanted to say this on the air. I'm Dr. Elizabeth Corbin, and I don't know everything. But I do know some things. And I'd like to share with you some things I know because they can help you manage your own health. Just like I don't want the government to manage my finances or give away my charity, I don't want them to manage my health either. I know what's good for me. And I live in this body. I'm intimately familiar with it, as you are. So you can take control of your own health. And in this age right now where we have basically a nasty cold going around, I just want to reiterate just a little bit of what I said. When a new virus enters, a new species, especially one that's got as many members as the human race does, it is going to go like wildfire. And anybody who had a disposition to be hurt or killed by it is going to be hurt or killed by it unless they isolate in a bubble. So there is nobody that's going to stop the virus. The virus is here. It's in the human population now, and that's how it is. Just like rhinovirus, which is a cold virus that comes around all the time. People catch cold. They don't worry about it. They're so worried about coronavirus because they've accentuated. And if you notice and just think back, they used to talk about how many deaths they had from COVID-19 and how many numbers they had.
Every day.
Now they talk about the percentage increase in cases. And just let me, from a mathematical standpoint, you can have 100% increase in cases if you had one case and now you have two. So when they say, oh, children have gone up by 30%, the number of deaths or children in the hospital from coronavirus has gone up 30%, that means, let's say, if we had 30 kids in the hospital before, now we have 40.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just really, when you listen to the numbers and when they start changing the kind of data they're giving you, you have to know they're trying to sway you, focus you, or make you fear something. So there is really not a lot to fear with coronavirus, even if you do have a pre-existing condition or some problem, if you give yourself a chance. It's been horrifying to me to watch and see that there is not one single public service announcement on bolstering your immune system. We all have this amazing system called the immune system that people with PhDs and MDs do not fully understand still after all this study and money we've put into it. We don't even understand our own immune systems fully. So how can we decide to bypass them with something that we have no idea what's going to happen? And that's, I'll just tell you right now, when this vaccine came out, we had no idea what was going to happen. We still don't know what's going to happen long term with this vaccine. But I can tell you what's going to happen if
because
you get coronavirus.
It wasn't tested like most things would be.
Well, even if it's
it was fast track.
mRNA is a different kind of thing. It's not a vaccine. But what we can do, what we can do, every single person can do, is they can do the things their parents told them to do. Take your vitamin C, eat your apples, take your vitamins. And so if you get a piece of pencil or a pencil and piece of paper and go ahead and keep it by you, because I'm going to give you some vitamins and some numbers and things that you can do that absolutely will not hurt you and will, you know, definitely predispose you to not getting sick, even if you are exposed, which you will be exposed. So I have a caller that asked, did China cause or create the Omicron variant? No, China didn't cause coronavirus, or they didn't cause or create coronavirus. They just mutated it a little, which I've done in the lab right over at MSU. They just added a little genetic material that made it infectious to humans.
But before we had it, but it was in animals.
Yeah, animals got it, yeah. So I raise pugs. I have two puppies for sale right now. I raise pugs, and when I decided on the vaccines, the difference in the numbers is largely the number of coronavirus variants that they are inoculated for. And it even says if you want to inoculate your or vaccinate your dog against coronavirus, it is a virus that will cause their nose to run and they will be uncomfortable and there will be an inflammatory response. It's uncomfortable but not deadly unless your dog is old or otherwise sick. Sound familiar?
And the thing about, you get ivermectin at Murdoch's or any of the places for large ranching and supplies. They've had it for years because cows and horses have gotten coronavirus for years.
Well, yeah, but we've used it as a parasite killer. But parasite killers also kill other things.
But the important thing about this question, I think, our caller asked, is that yes, China did make it. They mutated it. They worked with it. What's that called? It a function, gain of function. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got the research from Fauci from America. Mm-hmm. We gave them money in China with Fauci and the National Health and the World Health Organization, and we paid them to make to weaponize it.
And if
to
you look
weaponize
at the big picture,
it for people.
Yeah, well, that's not what they were paid for, but that's what they did. And what basically happened is we borrowed this. The United States of America borrowed money from China at interest and then gave it back to China to do this work. And the question was actually, did China cause or create the Omicron variant? No. Once a virus is in a population and infecting, it is constantly mutating. So it will continue. They can name the variants. They don't name the variants of the cold or the flu. Well, sometimes they name the flus, but they don't. It's another case of focus. If you're focused on each little thing, then it becomes a huge problem in your mind. If you're focused on that one little pimple you have on your cheek, you become this person with a pimple in your own mind. It's the same thing that's happening to the United States. Oh, look at this thing that's happening.
Omicron is extremely mild,
and it will be continue to do that if it follows the path of any normal pathogen, because a pathogen that kills its host does not live for very long. So generally they become more infectious and less deadly if they want to survive. So they don't really have the ability to want, but that's the natural tendency. If they don't become less deadly, they kill off their hosts, and then that's the end of that. So this is going to be a part of our life, just like the cold and flu and pneumonia and many other things that kill some people if you're not healthy. So one of the best things that you can do, the best thing you can do, in my opinion, is to take your vitamins, children. We've been kind of preachy and mommy today because we're both moms. But I, if you got a piece of paper and a pencil, I'll just tell you a really nice little regimen you can do. Another thing a lot of people have asked me about is what they can do if they did get the vaccine. To help their body combat the side effects of the vaccine, which, depending on the vaccine you got, we do not know what's going to happen. Nobody does. If they tell you that they do, they're lying. We had a pretty good idea because we tried some of these treatments on Ebola down in Africa and other outbreaks that we've had, but we'll get into that later. If you take vitamin C...
Tell them about time release.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. You should take timed release vitamin C, which you can get in your better stores, because vitamin C does leave your body within 4 hours of being taken, and so it's not there. And you need vitamin C for every single DNA replication that your body does, which it does only about several gazillion of them a second. So vitamin C, a timed release vitamin C, will keep vitamin C in your system over time so that you have that available. It's an antioxidant. It's important for gene replication. It's antiviral, antifungal. It's one of the most important vitamins you can take. So vitamin C, 2 to 10 grams a day. And the general wisdom that I've known since I was a kid doing fitness promotion all over the country is you start with 2 grams, that's 2,000 milligrams, and you add a gram or 1,000 milligrams every day until you start to have a little diarrhea. I don't know if you can say that on the air.
Yes.
And then you just back off 1 gram, and that's what your body wants. Because that's another thing that's a big, huge fallacy in medicine is all bodies respond to X, Y, or Z. Your body will ask for what it wants. And you can do this in your home, and you can have a tailored, perfect little setup of what vitamins you take to be healthy and feel good. So vitamin C, 2 to 10 grams a day, very, very much prefer the timed release form. Then we have magnesium, probably the most... The mineral that we are most deficient in, although in the United States, we're deficient in minerals because we use Roundup, and Roundup sequesters minerals, so we don't have a lot of bioavailable minerals. So I strongly suggest you take a multi-mineral tablet every day, because there just isn't enough in our food. We think there is, but there's not. So for the typical post-vaccine therapy to help your body combat the effects of the vaccine, Dr. Artis, who is a guy who just toured the state and had a lot of information, this is where this magnesium information comes from, 200 to 500 milligrams a day. Magnesium is antithrombotic, and thrombosis is a clotting, And so if you don't want your blood to clot, which is one of the side effects of remdesivir and one of the side effects of the vaccine, then you need to have enough magnesium. It will help your body not to clot, your blood not to clot. So 200 to 500 milligrams a day. And again, if you start at 2 and you move up 100 milligrams a day until you have a little diarrhea, then you'll have your right dose. Magnesium is also excellent for muscles and to relax your muscles. It's excellent for your heart. It's absolutely essential for muscle function. And then there's selenium, and this is one that you can overdose on. So 200 micrograms, not milligrams, micrograms a day. Micrograms is MCG, where milligrams is MG on the bottle. So 200 micrograms a day, decades ago, there was a large long-term study done where 200 micrograms of selenium a day cut the risk of any kind of cancer by 20%.
Dr. Elizabeth Corbin. And she is helping us understand coronavirus, the vaccine, and the treatments. Just remember, information is power, and you have to be responsible for your own body. If you want the vaccine, fine. If you don't want it, fine. It's your right. Make your own choices. We're not trying to dissuade you one way or the other, but we believe you have a right to information, and she has accurate information. Okay, take over and tell us if it's important. It's not technically a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And if you can make that short but sweet.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just give you a little common sense here. A vaccine, if you get vaccinated against something like polio, then you don't have to worry about it anymore, right? So what happened when we got the vaccine for coronavirus?
Oh, wait a minute. With polio or scarlet fever or whatever, they take some of the disease like they did with, they would actually cut you and put smallpox on the mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. And then that would go in your body, a little bit of it, and your body would create,
learn yep.
how
yes.
to fight it.
Because your immune system is genius, brilliant, amazing, beyond what we can imagine. But nobody can learn something that they've never been exposed to. So you have to first be exposed. You have to first let your body read the book that is this virus. And when it does, it responds and learns all of the markers and antigens, makes antigens for all of the different markers that are on that. So it learns the whole virus.
Which is why they say natural immunity, which I have because I've had coronavirus mm-hmm. and I have the antibodies, are better because mm-hmm. they are constantly developing in my body right. to fight that whole thing.
So then if the virus comes along that has a variant, Omicron, Delta, Zeta, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it, your body can say, oh, it's that with this little change. Instead of when you get the mRNA vaccine, which is not a vaccine, but we'll go into that in a minute, it makes your body create a whole bunch of spike protein. I knew I was going to get that. It makes your body create a whole bunch of that spike protein, so your body learns about the spike protein. There's some major problems with that as well, because the spike proteins will build up in areas of your body that do not have an immune system, that have barriers instead, like the blood-brain barrier. So I would never go anywhere near this vaccine. It is not a vaccine. It is gene therapy. And I studied gene therapy for probably 4 years before I decided totally against it to save my son's life. I chose instead to develop this vitamin regimen, which has saved my son's life. And it doesn't hurt him. In fact, it helps him. He never gets sick because he always takes his vitamins. So anyway, it's not a vaccine. It is gene therapy. The Johnson & Johnson, as far as I know, is a vaccine. But I'm not a vaccine specialist. I am a genetic engineering person, and I've done a lot of work with viruses, but I'm not a vaccine specialist. But this is not a vaccine. The reason that they're calling it a vaccine is because the government has made Big Pharma immune to prosecution for any bad side effects caused by a vaccine.
And they
so that's why they're calling
do that,
it that
if they called it an mRNA.
If they called it gene therapy, they
gene
couldn't
therapy.
Do that. Yeah,
they couldn't
but now
do that.
They don't have any liability. They can't be sued for killing you with this vaccine. Not to say that it will kill you, but what I will say is we have no idea what it's going to do. And as what I know about metabolic pathways and molecular biology, it bodes very ill for long-term effects of the mRNA, quote, vaccine, unquote.
And one thing is it's administered, it's in protein.
Yep.
And so the protein, your brain, you were saying, does not have receptacles for DNA.
No. Your brain has a blood-brain barrier, but it does not have the proteins that are your immune system. It doesn't have macrophages and those kind of things floating around. So it cannot, what its protection against pathogens is the blood-brain barrier. So pathogens can't get through that. Most of them can't. But mRNA goes right through. So it causes those cells in there then to make all this protein, but there's nothing to take it away. There's no immune system. So what happens when a lot of useless protein builds up in your brain?
Dementia.
I'll leave that up to you. Yeah.
Yeah, dementia. Yeah.
We don't know, but it doesn't look good. I pray every day that I'm wrong about this. But there's just so many, many ways we could go into a three-hour show on that. Mm-hmm. They wanted me to repeat the vitamin regimen. Here we go. Really quick. I'm not going to explain it this time. I'm just going to give you the numbers. Timed release vitamin C, 2 to 10 grams a day. Find your dose by what gives you diarrhea. Magnesium, 200 to 500 milligrams a day. Same. If it gives you diarrhea, back off 100 milligrams. Selenium, 200 micrograms a day. Important. You can overdose and hurt yourself on selenium. There's not very many vitamins you can do that with, but selenium is toxic in large doses. So make sure it's 200 micrograms a day. Apple pectin, 700 milligrams a day. That is especially helpful in clearing your body of the problems like the graphene oxide that is in these vaccines. It will help your body to deal with the effect if you've had the vaccine. It's also just good. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. It's not untrue. Zinc, 500 to 100 milligrams a day. People suck on zinc lozenges. You can't overdose on zinc. So it's just excellent for any kind of cold. So take those things. The other thing I would add to that is vitamin D3, especially in this climate and at this place on the planet, we don't get enough sun. And if you're older and female especially, you don't make it as well from the sun. And it's absolutely essential for a lot of things, your mental health as well as your immune system. So vitamin D3, I highly recommend 5,000 I use every day or more. I know people that take 10, but everybody that's working at MSU in biochemistry and microbiology and the health sciences, I haven't talked to a single one that doesn't take at least 5,000 milligrams or IUs of D3 a day. So that's your general overall thing. Now, what if you get COVID? I recommend, and I'm just me, and I think I said at the top of this little discussion, I don't know everything, but I highly recommend you do not go anywhere near a hospital. Hospitals are being incentivized to do certain treatments, such as remdesivir, pronounced run, death is near.
Run, death is near.
Remdesivir.
That's good.
Causes kidney failure, which then causes fluid uptick in your, because you're not getting your fluids out, so that floods your lungs, and then they ventilate you, and then the rest of your organs die. Now, there are scientific papers out that actually list kidney and organ failure as a symptom of coronavirus, but it's not. It's not. It's a symptom of remdesivir. And it is not the only drug that has been approved. Ivermectin has actually been approved by the FDA. I have the sheet right in front of me here for use against coronavirus. And there's another one I can't read here. Monoclonal antibodies are very good. Very good treatment for anything. We've done that for a long, long time. But bad side effects of remdesivir include Guillain-Barré syndrome, which has spiked just incredibly. It's been a very rare disease until this remdesivir treatment for coronavirus. Transverse myelitis, stroke, anaphylaxis, that's what you get when you have a histamine response, death.
Oh, dear.
Pregnancy and birth outcomes. One of the things that's happening with the vaccine, is sterilization and the presentation I saw from Dr. Artis. Again, it's the drartisshow.com. He's got a lot of really good information on there. It's directly from the FDA. It's directly from scientific papers. They're right there. And you can see exactly what they knew going in and what they still know and what they're doing anyway, which I don't really quite understand.
This is Tammy Hall. My guest is Dr. Elizabeth Corbin. She's talking to you about take control of your own health. So real quickly, we were talking about run, death is near, run, desivir. The hospitals are incentivized. They get more money if they treat you with this. But they know it's dangerous. How do we know it's dangerous?
Well, it was tested against Ebola and in Africa, and they stopped the test because everybody's kidneys were failing within 3 to 5 days of beginning it. So if you kill your subjects, you can't finish your study. Every study that's happened, it's been pulled from. Even a coronavirus study that I was just looking at this morning, they just pulled it. And the paper didn't say anything about why it was pulled or why it didn't go make it through the study.
So what we're telling you is if this is what they want to treat you with, you say, no, I want ivermectin.
And ivermectin is approved by the FDA for use on coronavirus.
But hospitals don't get the bonus.
That's right.
And also the
monoclonal antibody treatments are wonderful if you are in a later stage.
Okay.
But you can avoid getting there. Again, here's what you can do. Got a pencil and paper. I've treated probably between 20 and 30 people now with this, many of them over the age of 80, diabetes, asthma, obesity, all really, really sick before they started taking it. Within 3 days, they were all perfectly healthy. So we'll start with this. It's a fatty acid. It's a nutrient. One of the fatty acids found in coconut oil. It's called monolaurin, monolaurin. 900 to 1,000 milligrams a day, so around a gram a day, 2 times a day, morning and night.
Monolaurin. Like mono, like getting mono, and lauren, yeah. Like the girl's name, only with an I.
With an I. That's right. And it is a fatty acid. You can't overdose on this stuff. You might gain a little weight. But it will, what it does from a biochemical, molecular biology standpoint, is it shuts down the transport mechanism that takes the viral DNA into your cell where it is then replicated. So it stops that thing from replicating itself. So it can't stay in your body. It just dies. So monolaurin does that. Your body can produce monolaurin, but it doesn't produce it very efficiently. So you give that. It's the first sign of any kind of cold. That's what I just start taking monolaurin morning at night, and in the morning and at night. And I usually don't even get cold. I have a small symptom and it's gone before I know it. The other part of this two-part treatment is N-acetylcysteine. Big N dash A-C-E-T-Y-L cysteine, C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E. It is an amino acid. It's part of building block of protein. Absolutely harmless. 600 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams morning and night. For it, take 2 or 3 days. You'll be over it. So if I'm getting sick, and this has been for quite a while now, or my kids are getting sick, we do that. If it's not gone in 2 days, it's not a virus.
Let me just close off by saying we just got permission from Rachel that all this information, this vitamin protocol, will be on Montana Talks website. So Dr. Elizabeth Corbin's going to go in and meet with her and give her what she's been talking about. And if you have any interest in it, go to the webpage.